This morning we're talking about the ministry of the Holy Ghost, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I want to just continue with that tonight for a little while here. If you look with me in the Word of God to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And the Lord's presence has been so real in this service tonight. I'm so thankful for that and how desperately we need Him to move among us in our lives. One of the things that I don't know how well I conveyed it this morning, but one of the things that was so strong, is so strong upon my mind and on my heart, is the fact that as Christians, as born-again believers, we see things different. We see things different. We don't have the same view or perspective on life, on the future. Everything is different. Amen. When you come to the Lord, you're born again of the Spirit, and that spiritual transformation changes you. It changes the way that you look at life, the way that you view your life, your future and your destiny. Everything, it looks differently. Amen. And just want to look at a couple of sections of Scripture here tonight to kind of just go on with this theme. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Amen. By natural means, natural vision or perception, you can't see the things of the Spirit of God. You can't understand the things of the Spirit of God. Not by sight, not by hearing, not by any way that you can conceive of the truth. You just can't understand it when you are unsaved. When you're born again of the Spirit, then you have a whole new insight. As the song says, I'm in a new world since the Lord saved me. Everything is different. You see differently. And you see things that you could never comprehend before you were born again. And that's what the Apostle Paul is describing here. He's saying that there are things that God has prepared for the child of God that you can't see it by the flesh or by carnal means. You can't understand it. You can't conceive of it. You can't understand the plan or the purpose of God. As wonderful as the blessings and the promises of God are for us. And one of the things that I just want to try to get across here tonight is that I know where we are. I know we're living in really difficult and dark days. And if you're not careful, you can kind of be overwhelmed by all the hopelessness around us. But I want you to be encouraged to understand that there are things in the realm of the Spirit that the world doesn't know anything about. God has plans for the church and for the people of God that the world, they don't know anything about. They can't see it, they can't hear it, they can't conceive of it. That's the reason why that the world they're doing the things they're doing that are contrary to the Word of God. That's why that they are making statements and they're sometimes ridiculing and making fun of the church, making fun of the Word of God and making light of spiritual truth. Like I mentioned this morning, that even some politicians are saying things like, well, what the Christians need to do is change what they believe to meet up with what's going on in our world today. But we know that we can't add to or take away from the Word of God. There's a curse upon us if we change the Word of God. And really, it's blasphemous for someone to suggest that we could just change what we believe to be in step with what the world is doing. God's Word is going to stand forever. And one of these days, we're going to stand before God in judgment, and we're going to be judged on the basis of truth. And that truth is what's revealed in the Word of God. Amen. What God's Word says will stand, no matter if everything else is crumbling. Amen. And so the work of the Spirit of God is to bring us into understanding of what God is doing and how that He's working in our times. You can't see it. That's why there needs to be a fresh baptism of the Spirit in your life. Amen. You could you probably can look back like me. I was just a young person when I was baptized in the Holy Ghost, maybe 15 years old or so. Some of you can look back to the day when you were baptized in the Holy Ghost, and you might have been a young person. It might have been a lot of years ago. But what about right now? What about today? What about an experience in the Spirit that's for right now, that's up to date to the present situation, the present challenges? Let me read on here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by the Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Amen. The wonderful blessings of God that the world cannot conceive of, the wonderful promises of God that the world just scratches their head and they don't understand what we mean. They don't speak our language, and hopefully we're not speaking their language. Amen. I have had a few occasions where I've been in foreign countries in church services where not one word of English was spoken. You talk about miserable. You're sitting there. You don't understand what they're saying, what they're preaching. You can hardly pick it out. You can pick out maybe a few words and try to distinguish what they're saying. You sense the spirit of what's going on in the worship and the preaching, but you don't understand. And you just, it's frustrating. And many times I've thought, I wish I would have done better in Spanish when I was in high school. I wish I would have tried harder to learn that language. And because now what a blessing it would be to me to be able to understand and comprehend. That's the way it is with the world. As they look at what goes on among the people of God, they can't see it. They can't understand it. They can't comprehend it. They think the church is weird and crazy and not in step with the world. And that's exactly right. We're not in step with the world. We're living our lives in step with the plan of God and the Word of God and the things of the Spirit. The reason why we need a fresh experience in the Holy Ghost is because we are facing new challenges, new problems, a darker time that we're living in, and you need something up to date for right now. Amen. The reality of the Spirit. Verse 11 says, for what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us. We've not received the spirit of the world. The spirit of the world is carnality. It's of the flesh. It's the wisdom of man. It's of this life. It's of this world. But what we receive in the Spirit is knowledge and wisdom and information that comes from God by the power of His Spirit. So we have some inside information that the world doesn't know about because we are filled with the Spirit and we're living in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit of God. Then verse 14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. He can't do it. He can't understand it. They can't speak your language. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Amen. Amen. The things of God. Whenever a person gets saved, born again, they may not know a lot about the Bible, about the things of God, but the Spirit of God begins to draw them in the direction of righteousness. The Spirit of God begins to draw them. They don't know what the Bible says about a lot of things, but they have a new desire and a new hunger. And it's for God. It's to know God. It's to know the things of God. I've witnessed young Christians, new converts, many times, just hungry for God. They don't even know really what they need or what they want, but they're just desiring something from God. Amen. And there's just a hunger that God gives to that new baby Christian. The natural man can't receive it. He can't conceive of it. But the spiritual man, he sees it. He understands that God has a plan for him, that God has good things for him. And so he begins to pursue more of the things of the Spirit. Amen. Now, it's possible to be religious. It's possible to know a lot about the Bible and still not be a spiritual person. Remember the example there in John chapter 3 when Nicodemus came to Jesus? Now, Nicodemus was a was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was a lawyer. He was a Jewish scholar. He was, you know, knowledgeable in the things of religion. A lot of information, a lot of knowledge, religious knowledge. But the problem with Nicodemus is that he didn't know God. He didn't know God. And on that experience, Jesus spoke to him and said, Nicodemus, you've got to be born again. You must be born again. And here's Nicodemus. I mean, he's got all this head knowledge, all this wisdom and experience and training and the laws of God, but something, you know, he didn't understand. He's saying, well, what do you mean be born again? You mean I have to enter back into my mother's womb? And he was so confused by the words of Jesus because he wasn't born again of the Spirit. And Jesus spoke to Nicodemus and told him, you've got to be born again of the water and of the Spirit, or you can't enter into the kingdom of God, or you can't conceive and receive the things of the kingdom of God if you're not born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. And then verse 8, he says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, or the wind blows however it wants to blow. The wind is blowing, and that's how the Spirit of God works and moves. And God wants to reveal himself to us for this present time, right now. He wants to reveal himself so that we can understand that even though there are a lot of questions and a lot of dark and difficult things that it seems like that are on the horizon as far as the world is concerned, we need to hear and receive some things from God. You know that God has a word for today? That God has some answers for today? You don't have to be afraid of the challenges that are right before us because God speaks to this generation. God's word and his Spirit directs us concerning these times that we're living in. And I spoke to this a few weeks ago when I said that we were born for this time. We were born for this time. As dark as it is politically, as messed up as it is morally in our nation, and all of the things that are going so far, do you know that we are born for this time, and God has not been caught off guard by all these things that are happening in the world, but instead, he has the power, the wisdom, the knowledge to equip us for right now. Amen. And it all is summed up in the experience of the Spirit. Amen. Enter into the things of the Spirit of God. Be filled with the Spirit. Get a fresh, up-to-date experience in the Spirit. And then every day live in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Allow God to direct your steps and be led of the Spirit of God. Then you're going to be able to face the challenges of these days. You see, the wind of the Spirit. We spoke a little bit this morning about the first part of the name or his title of that third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Let's just take a few minutes and look at him, the Spirit of God, the Spirit and who he is. The word Spirit comes from a Greek word, pneuma, meaning breath or wind. Breath or wind. And you'll see this symbol all through the Scripture. You see the wind of the Spirit, the breath of the Spirit of God. Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The Spirit of God, the word moved, it's from a Hebrew word that means brooded over the earth. The earth that was dark, and it's like the example of a mother hen flutters over its little chicks, either to bring them to life, to stir them up in the nest. That's exactly what it's talking about. And so when the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep that was dark and death and no life there, but the Spirit of the Lord brooded over the earth, and then there is life. Amen. God begins to work by the power of the Spirit, even in creation. The working of the Spirit of God. Just in the next chapter, Genesis chapter 2, he formed Adam out of the dust of the earth. And then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. The Bible says, and He became a living soul. It was death. But when the Spirit breathed upon that form, he became a living soul. Amen. The example that we see from here and other places of the Scripture is that when the Spirit of God begins to hover, the Spirit of God begins to move, then there is life. Amen. Life. Amen. And oh, how we need life. And I've sensed that tonight in this service. Just you know, not really to the degree that we really want to see, but I've sensed God among us in this service tonight. And He's waiting and He's brooding over us. And He wants you and I to yield to Him. He wants us to desire Him and to hunger for more of Him and to begin to pursue the things of the Spirit with our whole heart. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. On the day of Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord, in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. Here they are sitting, they're waiting patiently for the promise of the Spirit, and suddenly from heaven, the wind blows into that room, and they are filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. I believe we need to ask the Lord to send the wind of the Spirit into our lives individually, into our church, into our Sunday school, into our outreaches, into our Christian school, into the various ministries of the church. Spirit of the living God, blow upon our church. Blow upon our ministries. Blow upon us, Lord. How we desperately need you to move, Lord. We need this stirring and this moving of your Spirit upon us. Amen. And without Him, we're absolutely powerless. Without Him, we cannot do one thing that God has called us to do. But by the Spirit, we can see and we can hear and we can comprehend the wonderful things that God has planned for the people of God. Amen. This is not an age of despair and hopelessness. We're living in the last days just before the coming of the Lord. And so we need to understand that this is a season that we're entering into right now that is a season of great fruitfulness and potential blessing for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The church that's filled with the Spirit. The church that's anointed of the Spirit of God. The church that is moving into all that God has for us. You can see it. You can hear it. You can conceive of it if you're filled with the Spirit of God. Otherwise, then you're going to have no interest. Your appetites are, you're going to be drawn by the things of the world. You're going to be sucked into the things of this world that really are just meaningless and that can take from you really and destroy your spiritual potential for your life if you allow your sights to be set on the world, the things of this world. But what we need is the wind of the Spirit. You know, the wind is a powerful energy source, isn't it? Whenever it was a year or two ago, we were traveling out west, out to New Mexico and Colorado, where our kids were at. And as I got out there out in West Oklahoma, past Oklahoma City, and going into Texas, the Panhandle of Texas, I started seeing these gigantic wind turbines. And I mean, they were, I don't know how tall, gigantic wind turbines. And I, you know, they have farms of these wind turbines. And some of those farms can produce as much as a nuclear power plant. It's incredible. The wind is blowing, and they're out there on those plains, and the wind blows across those Oklahoma and Texas panhandle plains, and those turbines begin to turn, and they capture that energy and store that energy. And the wind has great power. And the Spirit of God has great power to generate force. Amen. So that we could begin to witness conversions. I mentioned this morning, and I'm just repeating it tonight because I believe that God just dealt with me about this, that He's going to be sending in, and He already has been. There have been in our services, almost every service, we're having people just show up, people, visitors coming, and I just pray, Lord, send them in, but Lord, prepare us so that we are able, Lord, to minister to them and encourage them and point them to Jesus. Give us, Lord, the power necessary, the equipment necessary to be able to meet the challenges of people who are out there in this world. Amen. There is power by the Spirit of God. I love reading about the experience of those early apostles and how that they were ignorant and unlearned. They didn't have training. They didn't have education. They didn't have a lot of qualifications that you'd think would be necessary for ministry. But the Spirit of God blowed upon those men. And they were in the presence of God. They had been with Jesus. And everywhere they went, there were miracles, there were signs, there were wonders, there were wonderful manifestations of the Spirit of God and the power of God. And so the wind of the Spirit of God, the pneuma, the blowing, the breath of God can blow into your life and into our lives and into your family and into our church so that we become a powerful force for the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Not only are there wind farms, but for centuries, large boats and ships have been moved and directed by the sails as they raise the sails, and those sails catch the wind, and that gigantic vessel is moved by the wind. Amen. Glory to God. So in the church, I just believe that God, He wants to direct and He wants to move among us, and the wind blows where it listeth. We can't just say, God, I want you to do this or do it this way or work this way. We just need to set our sails for the wind and catch the wind. Whenever God is moving, then we need to set our sails. Amen. When we sense the presence of God in a service or in a prayer meeting or in an altar service, we just need to set our sails and say, God, you take us where you want us to go. You lead us however you choose to lead us. Are the power of your Spirit. The prophet Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6, he said, it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Those first two are talking about physical might and intellectual might. It's not by anything you can do physically, it's not anything you can do intellectually, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Wonderful, mighty things are accomplished by the power of the Spirit of God. Amen. So the wind is a generating force. Amen. That God can work and move. But not only that, our little girls had the experience of a tornado getting close. David and I were raised in Oklahoma. Well, Elaine was too. And Oklahoma is that area where we were raised. It's really Tornado Alley. Most people in our neighborhood, we didn't, but a lot of people in our neighborhood had these storm cellars in their backyards. And we would have to go to somebody else's place or else just ride the storm out. And we did that quite a bit of time. But, you know, I grew up, and actually I was hardly even afraid of them because they happened so frequently. I just thought, okay, another storm's blowing through. But those tornadoes and those hurricanes has such unbelievable force and power. I know you've probably seen pictures of like a piece of straw that has been driven into a telephone pole. And you wonder, how could that ever happen? But there it is, sticking in that telephone pole. The wind that seems to be so strong and so mighty that it can penetrate and it can move anything. Amen. And oh, what a wonderful example of what God can do by the power of the Holy Ghost. Because a lot of you in your life or in your family or in circumstances that you're dealing with, there are strongholds in people's lives. And it seems overwhelming and as if that they are too hard and too resistant to the gospel and they could never be reached. But don't ever minimize what God can do by the power of the Holy Ghost. God can send conviction. He can send circumstances into their life to make them aware that God is mightier and more powerful than anything that they could do to resist what God is trying to do. Amen. And so He can move, He can penetrate, He can bring down every obstacle by the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I can't do it. I don't have the power to do it, but I do know that when people walk into this sanctuary on Sunday morning or whatever service. And there have been some people that I've talked to, and after I've had just a short conversation with them, I'm just thinking, Lord, this is the biggest mess I've ever seen. I mean, it's just, their lives are so messed up, so entangled and messed up by sin. That's what Satan loves to do. He loves to destroy people's lives and make them think their future and their potential is gone. But there's always hope in the presence of God. Amen. There's always hope for these people, no matter how bad it might be, no matter how hopeless that it might seem like that it is. God can move and He can work, and the wind of the Spirit of God can blow upon their life and bring to them understanding and can bring them out of the trouble and the heartache of their life and give them victory and save them and cause them to be born of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Jordan's friend that was with him this morning. I love it when new converts don't know anything about God. And this young man, this morning when I talked to him, he said, Jordan said, tell him what happened to you Wednesday night. And Jordan had witnessed to him and led him to the Lord Wednesday. And the guy didn't know what to say, so he just said, well, Jordan saved me. Praise God for Jordan. Jordan saved him. Amen. But we know really what happened. Amen. If he opened his heart to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord and repented of his sins, Jesus can save. Jordan can't and I can't, but we can lead him to the Lord. And I just thought, that's just really neat that he don't even know all the ways and the means of what was going on in his life. But somewhere along the line, he experienced the touch of God upon his life and he didn't know how to describe it. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus, thank you, Lord, for moving among your people. Thank you, Lord, for satisfying the longing of our hearts. Oh, God. Hallelujah.